Aussies love the bush, but sometimes the bloody bush doesn't love us back. I'm John Harper, just a simple joker talking about why mental health is everybody's business and what to do if you think a mate is struggling. This season on Mate Helping Mate, we've decided to go down a slightly different path and dive into some really important themes that continue to come up when dealing with mental health issues. You'll hear from people from different walks of life with wisdom that they have learnt from their personal experience.
A broken arm, you can see I'm sick. If I'm churned up in the guts that I can't think straight, just go see someone.
It is that they don't see that they have a problem. In behind that, they really do know there is a problem there. They just struggle with admitting it to themselves a lot of the time.
If you have got a problem, or you think you've got a problem, talk to someone. Have a beer with them or open a conversation and just say to someone, I'm not having a very good day.
This podcast is a Room 3 production and brought to us by our mates at the Murrindidgee Primary Health Network and the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries. Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature, and we recommend seeking professional health advice from your GP, doctor, or other medical professional. If you're struggling with your mental health, please visit the show notes or matehelpingmate.org.au for links to trusted service providers across the country. You can also call Lifeline on 13 11 14. They're available 24/7. You'll be hearing the lived experiences of everyday folk in rural and remote Australia. The language can be strong at times, and references of suicide may upset some people. So consider who's within earshot when listening.
It's a wise man who acknowledges a problem early so that he doesn't have to live it. As far as I'm concerned, that is a pearl, regardless of mental health or life. Unless you can acknowledge that you've got a problem, how can you start fixing it? It's as simple as that. And the challenge with mental health is that we're often so blinkered and shut down by our brain's thinking that we fail to see the problem. And today's episode is really focused on a variety of individuals who have found ways of doing that, of being able to acknowledge that they have a mental health issue, and then that's allowed them to move forward to a brighter future. The first joker I'd like to introduce to you today is a bloke called Butch Young, soul of the earth bastard. He's in a unique position in that he's a fella that's had lived experience, but he also works as a peer support worker. So he's coming from both ends. And the beauty is that he's been there and done that. He's had to acknowledge the problem before he can move on to have a brighter future and appreciate the life he's got. So please have a listen to some of the wisdom that Butch has learnt and some of the wisdom that he shares with others who are still struggling to acknowledge that they have a problem. So Butch, do you think it's inherent in the individual? Was it inherent in you knowing that you had a problem all that time but you couldn't address it?
It changes in every individual. I deep down knew something wasn't right.
Yeah, I think I did too.
I deep down knew something wasn't right, but it was that fear of what would happen and that fear of that male and that inner ego and that stature and all of that stuff that's drummed into us as boys.
When the doctor diagnosed and it finally clicked that I had depression, I think I cried more from humiliation than I did from anything else. Because I'm thinking, how humiliating is this? I've got to go out and tell my friends that I've got a mental illness, that I've got to tell my wife that all of these problems that I've been having and blaming other people for is little Johnny Harper's.
Your front gate is where it starts. And as much as people want to come through your front gate and help you, it's you yourself that have to go through your front gate and touch on the world. For me to be who I am now, I had to go out my front gate. No opportunity was going to come and run down your driveway. That's not reality. And you're left alone if you're going to sit there and wait for it.
Hang on to your seat, podcasters. We've got another pearl of wisdom coming, and it's from a bloke who shares the same nickname as me. So this is China from Moolameen, the back of Whoop Whoop.
If you open up about how you're feeling, you've got less chance of the dog, well, I keep calling it the black dog, the dog biting you. That's what we call it now, the black dog. He's a bastard. If you hide, he's going to start nibbling. If you get out in the open, he's scared of that. And if you start talking to mates, talking to people, actually admitting, talk to yourself. Actually admit to yourself you've got a problem. That's the big one, because you've got to actually recognise, no one else can recognise it. You've got to realise yourself that something is wrong, something is just not coming good. Look, we all go down a bit sad. I've lost one night's sleep in my life. That was because I was getting my old man's clearance already and wasn't doing a good enough job. I got up at middle of the night and had a stubby. I've never done that in my life. But that wasn't letting the old fella down, I suppose. He was too old and sick to organise his own. But if you can recognise in your own mind, your own body, that something is not right, you can feel that. No one else can see what's going on inside. I said if I had a broken arm, you can see I'm sick. If I'm churned up in the guts that I can't think straight, I can't sleep, I can't go out, you don't want to be near people. And if that's happening to you, it's always something going on. Like it happens to me often if there's something upsetting me. You wake up and your mind goes a million miles an hour and you think, oh, I should have said that. This happened. But you've got to deal with the situation, admit you've got a problem, face the problem, talk to someone about it. Even if it's go and see a doctor there. Like, not that us blokes will go and see a doctor, but we have to occasion. We are not supermen.
Every now and again, in trying to acknowledge or identify a problem, we need to interact with professionals. In my experience, the best counsellors or advisors are bastards who have been bitten by the black dog. Posty is one of those people, one of the best counsellors I've come across. Well, I know in my case, I really struggled to acknowledge that I had a mental health problem, that I had depression. Do you think that a lot of people don't go for help because they don't believe or they can't see that they have a problem?
I think that's a really good point. It is that they don't see that they have a problem. However, in behind that, they really do know there is a problem there. They just struggle with admitting it to themselves a lot of the time. Sometimes that early intervention of someone going out and kicking the dirt with them can actually just be the little tick in the box that says, yep, it's okay, I'm not the only one, and I can actually get some support to beat this bloody thing. And it's not always has to come from a partner or a family member or that from someone completely neutral that you don't even know sometimes can be the real instigator for making change.
How the hell do you know you're broken in italics in regards to mental health?
Broken. What an interesting word. Most of us through our childhoods generally know when things are not right. So by the time we get to an adult, we've had a few knocks and the guy that's driving around out there in the tractor, he's got a pretty good indication whether things are going well in his life or not going well. And that doesn't mean that it is about the farm or the amount of money he's making or anything like that. Just himself personally inside. Is he feeling okay? Is he feeling sad? Is he feeling lonely? Is he feeling just flat? When we look at the circumstances and understand that it's not always just me, it's the circumstances that you're in. And when I talk to people around that and what those circumstances are, majority of the time that will pass. And so those circumstances will change.
In talking about reflection on why you're sad and that, how long is it before it becomes a real issue?
It's fairly normal to be sad for a day or flat for a day. The real worry for me professionally becomes when someone says that they've been sad for 2 days or 3 days, or that they're unable to get out of bed. So they notice their motivation's a little bit lower than normal. 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, that's the time to really pull it up and say, hey, what the heck is going on?
Is that because it starts becoming habit forming, I suppose?
Simply, if you want to look at it like that, then it could definitely be the start of a really bad habit. And if that habit was to continue, then definitely depression is the downward spiral.
I think officially, isn't it, the GPs diagnose depression and I think even anxiety to a certain extent, that if those, well, depression in particular, that if the symptoms of sadness, and there's about 10, so if you fill out a simple questionnaire on Beyond Blue, whatever, they'll go through these things. But if you have those sorts of feelings for a period of 2 weeks, it's basically GP diagnosable as depression.
2 weeks is probably a little bit long for me. However, I think that 2 weeks is definitely the opportunity for a doctor to be involved. At very least, a counsellor or someone to talk to about what should I do.
We should go back to your original advice, because this podcast and what we're trying to do is about prevention and early intervention. So will we go with your original advice? Is really reflect, really look at reaching out if you're sad for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, early intervention for me is definitely if you're sad for 2 or 3 days, or flat, or just low motivation, talk to a mate, just talk to anyone, just mention it. It doesn't mean that you have to race straight off to the doctor.
I agree with my mate Posty, the sooner the better. I hope, podcasters, that you don't take all day to consider or reflect on your well-being and on how you're feeling.
This podcast has been made possible thanks to our mates at the Murrindidgee Primary Health Network. Their Empowering Our Communities grant is the federal government's way of walking the talk, demonstrating their commitment to supporting families and communities living with the impacts of natural disasters. The program aims to support suicide prevention and encourage rural communities to seek out mental health support. This podcast is also brought to you by the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries. Through resilience building activities, they support primary producers experiencing natural disasters. You can find out more about them and the great work they do on our Mate Helping Mate website.
Next up is an Ali Old Bastard from Cooleman. Wayne introduces us to the value of participation in mental health workshops and how that positive interaction helped him survive his perfect storm.
I went to a meeting of 50-odd blokes. It was held at the Anglican College here in Wagga, and it was put on by Gotcha for Life and Tomorrow Man. And when I first got there, a lot of burly blokes, and you're thinking, God, there's some testosterone here, and I'm thinking, what are we going to achieve here? And I tell you what, it was one of the best things that I had ever been to in regard to mental health. It was put on by two young blokes from Melbourne. They travel around Australia, and that's all they do is try and get blokes to talk to one another. And that's exactly what they did on the night.
So in the end, you felt that people were talking about, what, some of the shit in their life? And
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How did these young fellas get them to
that
state?
Well, it was only a series of questions. And one particular session was that the fellas were asked to split into two groups and look at one another across the room. And one of the young blokes that was running the show, he had a series of questions and stepped forward if you said yes and stepped back if you said no and what have you. And it progressed right to the end of the evening, and two final questions was, have you contemplated self-harm past 6 months? And a few blokes step forward. And then right at the next question was, have you contemplated suicide in the last 2 days? And there were two or three blokes that took that further step forward. And I could not get over it. And I applauded them. And the whole room ended up applauding them for being so strong. And in the midst of 50-odd blokes, step forward and say that they had attempted suicide or attempted self-harm. I just couldn't get over it. And I'm speaking to one of the fellas that took that last step. I ring him occasionally now. If you have got a problem, or you think you've got a problem, talk to someone. Have a beer with them, or just open a conversation. And most people will say, look, come and have a yarn and we'll sort it out. Intervention, I think.
And we would much prefer early intervention or prevention. But if it happens that you're in crisis, that there is nobody about, please ring Lifeline 24/7, anytime, and the number is 13 11 14. So if you're in crisis, nowhere to turn to, Lifeline 13 11 14. These pearls of wisdom you've just listened to highlight my great-great-uncle Confucius again. It's a wise man who acknowledges the problem early so that he doesn't have to live it. In my own lived experience and in my work in regards to mental health and well-being since 06, what I've found in people acknowledging that they have a mental health issue is that generally the impetus comes from people who love or care for them. These are either your parents or good mates. The reason they keep hounding you and keep asking, are you okay, or, you know, is everything all right, is because they actually love and care for you. And it's about having the ability to listen to that and then to action it, to actually believe that they see a problem, and that may well help you acknowledge that you've got a problem. Easier said than done. So in my case, my wife knew I had a problem, and if truth be known, the only reason I went to see a GP about a mental health issue, which I didn't believe I had, was to spite my wife. I did it to shut her up. I was hoping, well, I believed the doctor was going to tell me I was dying from cancer. And that's why I felt like I did, because I was dying and I was gonna stick it to her. But the fact that she kept hounding me, you know, was something that I should have been aware, that she loved me, she cared about me, and goes. So I urge all of you, in acknowledging the problem, struggle, you will, on your own. Just listen to the people around you. Family, mates, workmates. Have a good one.
In finishing, a reminder that this podcast features general information only, and we recommend you get independent advice from a qualified professional. Mate Helping Mate has links on the website with a number of great service providers across the country. Head to matehelpingmate.org.au. If you're struggling with your mental health and need to talk now, call Lifeline at any time on 13 11 14. This podcast was a Room 3 production and brought to you by our mates at the Murrindidgee Primary Health Network and the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries. Episodes of this podcast can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts by searching for Mate Helping Mate and hitting subscribe. If you like what you've heard, make sure you leave a rating to make it easier for others to find us. Better yet, share it with your friends and family to start a conversation about mental health in the bush. A massive shout out to John Harper, who over the years has travelled this country, tirelessly working to improve mental health in rural and remote Australia. And of course, his offsider Michelle for her continued support for John and his work. Original music by Southwark Sounds and stock by Soundstripe. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you've found this informative and helpful.